Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I was going to try to find a little roll up of all the wind chill temperatures this morning. And the actual temperatures this morning across the state of Montana. But hey, don't worry, here in just a couple of minutes, the National Weather Service office out of Billings, Montana is going to join us on the show to talk about that very thing. Plus, I did see there is some light snow in the forecast for looks like late Thursday and into Friday. I was pleased to see that it is light snow, especially since we've got a drive to Glendive for the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo coming up for Friday morning, and then it's going to be fun. Our friend Tim from Savage is going to sidekick with us for the early morning hours of the Gate Show once again between 6 and 8 on Friday morning. And then I just realized I need to reach out to former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh out of Weibo to see if he wants to come sidekick with us in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. So, but I haven't even gotten to Friday yet because we got a show to do today. We'll catch up with the National Weather Service office here in just a few minutes. I did go on the Montana weather hashtag. Caden, I know you've been getting a new Montana Talks X account up and running and putting some great tweets out there. I don't know if you've played around with some of the hashtags yet or not, but hashtag MTWX is the Montana weather one. And there's a lot of things you got to filter through to find the good stuff, but there's always good stuff being shared by the various National Weather Service offices around Montana. This one was on the Montana weather hashtag here. So here we go. This is from the National Weather Service Weather Prediction Center. I think it was 15 below on my pickup this morning when I drove in this morning in my neck of the woods. What are the temperatures looking like in your neck of the woods? You can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you want to share the actual temperatures, the feels like temperatures, the wind chills. Hopefully there's not too much wind once again here today. These were the, so I posted a story on our Montana Talks website yesterday about Haver had it. They had, what was it here? I got to look at the Montana Talks website to give you the exact number. But they had it for the coldest wind chill in the state of Montana. At least based off the numbers I saw, there might have been a reading here or there that was colder. But on the official list, Haver had it with the lowest temperature in the state. And so as somebody commented on X in a tweet yesterday, you can have her, was the response from at ChaosMT on X. But here we go. The NWS Weather Prediction Center had the national high and the national low temperatures for Tuesday. By the way, our friend Captain Bruce out there in Orlando, Florida, was sending me some messages during the show yesterday as we were sharing some of the cold weather temperatures here in Montana. He said it feels like a 100-degree day here in Orlando, but McAllen, Texas, had the highest temperature for Tuesday, February 11th. The national high, there you go, 90 degrees in McAllen, Texas, minus 43 at 14 miles northeast of Ingomar, Montana. There you go. So the Jersey Lily, a little icy there. But yeah, it was the wind chill that Haver had it yesterday.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the region for today, we'll see high temperatures of around 10 degrees. Then looking at clear conditions into tonight, low temperatures back in the single digits below zero. And the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine as high temperatures rebound to the mid-20s. We'll see increasing clouds Thursday night with a low near 10. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A House Homeland Security Subcommittee hearing Tuesday focused on the threat China's investments in ports in the Western Hemisphere, including in America, pose to U.S. national security. Florida Republican Congressman Carlos Jimenez spoke about the Chinese influence on the Panama Canal and what it allows the PRC to do.
The United States cannot and will not accept a scenario where a foreign adversary, one that openly seeks to undermine our global standing, controls infrastructure, critical to U.S. homeland security, military readiness, and economic stability.
China also has terminal leases in several significant U.S. ports, such as L.A., Seattle, and Miami, which led witness Dr. Isaac Cardin to focus on the danger of that presence.
Focus should be on implementing stringent and mandatory cybersecurity.
While Dr. Matthew Kronig of the Scowcroft Center said of the U.S.-China relationship,
ultimately, the rivalry concerns the future of global order.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Man, I tell you what, whenever John Jackson, the Joker from X, is in the house with us, it's the most unwoke hour, sometimes 2 hours of the week. We have a ton of fun, plus we dive into all the serious topics as well. If you missed a second of Tuesday's show, you can do like you would do any other day. Download all 4 hours of the show on the Montana Talks app. There's an on-demand button, or you can go to Spotify as well if that's how you get your podcast. But best way is download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it. Great to have the National Weather Service office in Billings, Montana, with us on the phone lines here, kicking off another sub-zero day across Montana. We've got Brian from the National Weather Service office with us. Brian, thanks for your time this morning. And I forget, do I pronounce your last name? Is it Tassar? Brian Tassar? Did I pronounce that right?
That's the way I pronounce it. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Okay, good. Yeah, I know I've gotten a chance to catch up with you before, but I should have checked before we came out on the air. Well, what's the frozen water cooler conversation this morning at the National Weather Service offices here in the state?
Well, we're talking more about some other things going on around Livingston later tonight. Chance of some blowing snow and maybe even close to blizzard-like conditions developing with some wind and all the recent snow they've had out there. But, yeah, we're trying to survive. Everybody's calling up to see how cold it's going to be here toward morning and see if the cars are going to start.
Yeah, even mine, it kind of gave a little bit of an extra little chug this morning when it started up, but thankfully it did quickly. I should have put it in the garage. I just wasn't thinking last night, but I'm fortunate, that's for sure. So bottom line is, if you're thinking of traveling in and around the Livingston area, you may want to hold off on those travel plans later tonight then.
Yeah, we've got some people that, and we know we're heading out through there tonight, and then tomorrow morning we've got some probably wind gusts 50 to 60 miles an hour, and if the snow's loose enough out there and hasn't crusted over, it could be a problem out there with visibilities dropping below a half a mile, even a quarter mile at times.
Yeah.
So we're kind of monitoring that.
Yeah, well, that's important information. I appreciate you sharing that, especially as folks are listening right now on 1340 KPRK Livingston. And a lot of people make that drive over the pass. So maybe even tomorrow morning, maybe you can adjust to work from home or just to show up a little later in the day if you have to.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's what we're trying to tell people, just to be aware and keep track of everything going on along with all the cold weather we've had. There's some other stuff going on, too.
So I just shared the national high temperature was at 90 degrees in McAllen, Texas yesterday. And then temperature-wise, it was 43 below at 14 miles northeast of Ingomar for the national low temperature yesterday. But when you factor in wind chills, it looked like Havre had it at 50-something below zero.
Yeah, they definitely were the cold spot for wind chills. And I see they're like 44 below again here just recently in the last hour as well.
Wow. Yeah, let's see. The National Weather Service office out of Glasgow talked about an extreme cold warning in effect for areas near the Canadian border. But they shared some numbers here. The bitter cold continues minus 25 to minus 45. Opheim, just south of the Canadian border, and Plentywood are both at 41 below zero. Apparently, that's the coldest wind chills in northeastern Montana, the sector they cover this morning. Are you seeing anything colder than that?
No, it seems like, I mean, most of it's up there. I mean, Havre north to the Canadian border, up in the northeast corner, up there, northeast of Wolf Point, all those places are hitting in the minus 35 to around minus 40 type wind chills up in there at times overnight.
Yeah, I know. Well, the wind, we were kind of joking on the show yesterday. I was saying I'd rather take 20 below zero without wind than 20 above with wind. But we're still going to have, sub-zero temperatures and some high winds in the Livingston area developing over the next 24 hours. So that's definitely concerning, something to watch out for. Is that going to bring in some warmer air with it, though, as well? And then what's my drive to Glendive looking like Thursday and coming back Friday? It looks like some light snow is in the forecast for later Thursday.
Yeah, we'll probably finally get out of the really deep cold stuff, at least most of Montana, by tomorrow into Friday. We've got some warmer air moving in. Well, we'll still be below normal. We're going to maybe get up into the 20s, and still going to be quite pretty cold up there in the northeast corner. But yeah, some light snow moving in Friday through Saturday morning, and maybe even some more snow again hitting the area of Sunday into Monday and Tuesday. So pretty active weather for February.
I know, you know, some of our farmer rancher friends in northeastern Montana in particular were saying, God, we really needed some moisture. Sounds like they're getting some of it, and a good chunk of the state's getting some needed moisture.
Yeah, it's been a pretty busy, active February. We usually just get the cold weather in February, but this has been a pretty snowy period for us. It kind of reminds me of December. Usually we get these overrunning patterns in December, which actually the last few Decembers have actually been pretty dry and mild, relatively speaking.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Even this most recent one, I think, was pretty dry, if I remember right. And then it's hitting us now. And then even areas like south central Montana, southeastern Montana, typically like the Red Lodge area, they get their big batch of snow later on in the spring time more. It's kind of sad sometimes, too, because it's like, oh, shoot, they had their Forest Service permit expired for the year, and now they're getting all this great snow. But it's good. I'm sure they're happy to see some of this snow now.
Yeah, they're getting some of it, too. It's been pretty good up there, from what I've heard from some of the skiers I work with. Some of the areas over in the other areas over there by Bozeman getting some good snow for skiers, too.
Well, all right. Well, I appreciate your time. Brian Tassar with the National Weather Service Office in Billings. Thanks for your time. Thanks for all you and the fine folks at the NWS all across the state do for us.
You bet. Thanks for having us on.
I appreciate it. Yeah, and if we missed any important updates, yeah, shoot us an email with any other info if we missed it. We got to get to the Farm and Ranch Report right now as we hit this next news and weather break. And then coming up at 6:39, to be more precise, Montana Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage, Montana, joins us for our weekly legislative update with the Speaker of the Montana House. So lots to talk about here on this sub-zero Wednesday morning.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Excess federal government spending more than tax collections, is a bipartisan activity. With the exception of a couple years after the Berlin Wall fell, when falling defense spending allowed Bill Clinton to run a brief surplus, we've had deficits every year since JFK was in the White House. And as most of us know, the red ink has gotten especially scary, both in dollar terms and as a percentage of the economy. This was a prediction of some who debated the structure of the then-new national government at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. They feared that leaders who needed popular support to remain in office would make irresponsible decisions on spending. After 200 years, it's come true. It's hard to know everyone's motivation for voting for deficits and re-electing those who support them. But the notion that cutting taxes is a way of slowing down spending has been thoroughly disproven. The so-called starve-the-beast strategy that envisioned forcing spending levels downward has not been up to the challenge. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Democrats are trying to find the right approach to counter the Trump administration. Democrats are now the loyal opposition, effectively locked out of power in Washington as Republicans control the executive branch and both bodies of Congress. Democrats have lobbed entire landfills at President Trump since 2015. Some of it worked, but certainly not enough to permanently sidetrack Mr. Trump. On the TV show The Office, Secretary Pam Beasley noted that she only got 10 vacation days a year. Quote, I try to hold off on taking them for as long as possible, said Beasley. This year, I got to the third week in January. So far, Democrats are dusting off some old plays from a tired, dog-eared playbook. Like Beasley, they waited as long as they could. It took precisely 16 days before a Democrat threatened to impeach President Trump. Democratic Texas Representative Al Green prepped the first articles of impeachment against President Trump in 2017. He didn't do so until October of that year. And House Democratic Caucus Chairman Pete Aguilar says impeachment is not a focus of his this caucus. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the U.S. Wheat Associates and the National Association of Wheat Growers are applauding new legislation introduced this week that would move the Food for Peace International Food Assistance Program under USDA's administration. The legislation is sponsored by Representatives Tracy Mann of Kansas, Rick Crawford of Arkansas, Dan Newhouse of Washington, David Rouser of North Carolina, and House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania, along with Senators Jerry Moran of Kansas and John Hoeven of North Dakota. NOG's CEO Chandler Gould says that the wheat industry has long advocated for keeping the food in food aid and have expressed frustration at growing trends in food assistance programs of cash donations and commodity purchases from U.S. competitors.
Each year, the Food for Peace program buys more than 1 million of metric tons of food, including wheat, to feed millions of starving people in the poorest countries around the world. Under USDA Food for Peace, this 71-year-old program will feed more people more efficiently and more effectively without losing track that American foreign policy starts right here at home with American farmers.
Meanwhile, U.S. Wheat Associates President Vince Peterson says that realigning administration of Food for Peace, the industry's flagship global hunger program, to USDA makes perfect sense and ensures that the agency most closely connected with food is equipped to deliver wholesome food from U.S. farmers to those who need it the most. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ranchers, you're invited to the 52nd annual Boost Cherry Creek Ranch Progress Through Performance Bull Sale. Thursday, February 13th, 100 PAP-tested fall bulls and 25 non-PAP-tested fall bull sale at the ranch's sale barn near Veteran, Wyoming. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live online with DV Auction. The Booth family believes that the bulls offered in this year's sale will provide you with the most important genetic traits that your breeding program demands. For more information and to view the sale catalog, visit BoothCherryCreekRanch.com.
Montana winners call for comfort food. Sign up for the Beef Box giveaway from the Montana Beef Council, and you can win $50 worth of beef. Whether you're making beef stew, a hearty roast, or a big pot of chili, beef is the perfect way to warm up after a cold day. Add some flavor to your winter meals and stock up on beef for those cozy nights at home. Don't miss your chance. Head to the Montana Beef Council website and enter today.
Well, the USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation has announced marketing assistant loan rates for this year's crop graded wool by micron class, and loan rates for ungraded wool and mohair are unchanged and remain the same from the prior crop year at 40 cents per pound grease weight. Meanwhile, unshorn pelts are eligible for LDPs only. And finally this morning, it looks like a federal judge has ruled against livestock groups' attempt to halt the U.S. Forest Service's shooting of feral cattle in a New Mexico forest. In February 2022 and 2023, the Forest Service initiated an aerial shooting operation to cull feral cattle in the Gila National Forest, claiming concerns over environmental degradation and threats to wildlife habitats and even public safety. At the end of the day, the agency killed a little over 80 head of cattle in aerial shootings by helicopter. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Yes, I did it. I actually did it. I'm not very good at Photoshop and all that stuff, but So I know I should have been doing show prep during the last break there, but instead, guess what I was doing? I know. Squirrel. So easily distracted. I was hoping the Babylon Bee would already have a headline like this. Maybe they do. Let me go check out the Babylon Bee's website. Did you guys see the great photos and video of Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth working out with the troops? I mean, it was great. I loved it. In fact, Jesse Waters had a great segment last night, and he shared some audio of Pete Hegseth talking about working out with the troops and how, you know, hey, while you're there doing push-ups with them. and you know, all the other exercise routines. He said, you know, you also get a chance to say, hey, tell me what you think. You know, tell me about your job. Tell me what you think about how things are going, what we can do, what we can do better. And this is the Secretary of Defense. It's so great to see. I mean, what a contrast. I shared this on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/Flint Report, I shared the photos of SecDef Pete Hegseth. And there he is working out with the troops. Great photographs. I think this was in Europe, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get to the story here in a second. And, yeah, I didn't even notice that one of the guys in the photos looks like Hulk. He looks like the Hulk. I mean, the guy's just a monster. And in fact, everybody's joking around on social media now. They're like, hey, we're just going to send Hulk here in to go intimidate America's enemies. And so anyway, that was one of the guys he was working out with. But the Disney family and Libby first pointed that one out to me. But I said this about Pete Hegseth, the Warriors secretary. Contrast that with the last guy and his Darth Vader COVID mask BS. So anyway, let me scan the BabylonBee.com real fast here. Okay, they do not have one. Okay, so what I did, I mentioned so easily distracted. You guys have been hearing me. I've been playing around with AI all week long here. No, I'm not a rancher, so I haven't been AI in that way. No, I've been using this AI, artificial or augmented intelligence technology. You know, Grok is Elon Musk's platform on X. And so I was joking with some friends. I said, you know what Pete Hegseth should do with his next workout with the troops? He should wear a Darth Vader mask, an actual Darth Vader mask, when he's working out, you know, in tribute to Lloyd Austin. You remember when he had this stupid Darth Vader-looking COVID mask when he was going on international trips? I mean, just the symbol of American weakness and the symbol of the stupidity of the Biden administration. So I did it. I actually went into our little photo editor program that we've got here, and I grabbed one of the photos of Pete Hegseth with the squat rack here, and I was able to put a little Darth Vader helmet on him instead. So there we go. I'm going to have to... All right, let me download that one. I'm going to tweet that one out here in just a second. Hegseth dons Darth Vader mask in tribute to former Secretary Austin. I'll tweet it out here in a second. 60 seconds, we're back with you here. I think it's working now. Yeah, we just had the National Weather Service office join us on the phone lines as well. Let's see. Yeah, coming up, we are going to have our weekly legislative update from... Speaker of the House Brandon Lear, so that'll be coming up here in just a few minutes. I did just send the tweet, by the way. I just sent it, x.com/Aaron Flint. It's not the best photoshopping, but it works. Hegseth dons Vader mask in tribute to former Secretary Austin. I just couldn't resist that one. Okay, and by the way, hat tip to our buddy Michael Foth. He was the one who taught me how to use the little background remover on Canva for that one. So that's kind of fun. See, I can figure things out every now and then, despite my journalism degree. Despite my journalism degree, I can figure things out. Pete Hegseth joins the troops for the morning workout. Let's see. Here's I think this was from a special report with Brett Baer, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, that's got all the long intro in it. So let me go to another one here. This is from Jesse Waters' program last night. Let me see if I queued it up in the right spot.
And deadlifts with the troops, and just hear from them. What's working? What isn't? How do you see your mission set? I love that. So there was never a doubt, even though we got in at 2 a.m, that we were getting up a couple hours later to go do PT. It's a reminder that. You guys, the press in Washington might think I'm young, but in military terms, I'm old. And that showed this morning with these young guys who ran circles around me in that parking lot.
Yeah, that was a great line there. That shows that this guy is a real leader. And it shows the humility as well of Pete Hegseth. You know, here's a guy who had a national platform on Fox and Friends. He's a fellow veteran. But you know, the humility that he showed right there is, you know, he's obviously in really good shape. He's obviously, I think he's in his low to mid 40s. He's not that old, but he's exactly right.
when you're out there working out with the troops, I mean, these are young men and women. And look, somebody who's 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, yeah, they just got a leg up on you. And when you start to hit 40 in the military, that is old in the military. It may not be old in the civilian world, but that is old in the military. But he's still getting out there with the troops, and I know they respect that, and they get a chance to share their thoughts with him as well. And, you know, versus just some of the arrogance we've seen out of some of the previous leadership that has, you know, that they look down at the troops, they kick down at the troops, but then they suck up to the politicians in Washington. And typically they only suck up to the Democrat politicians in Washington and the deep state operatives while they kick down at the troops. So it's great to see. He had another line. I don't know if it was in that clip or if it was right before it on Jesse Waters' program last night, where he talked about how, hey, look, I feel like I have more in common with these young troops because I've been in their shoes. He says, but it's still than I do with the four-star generals, but it's still good to be here with the generals getting stuff done.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Semper Gumby. You got to be Semper Gumby if you're going to be live and local on the radio. Schedules are always going to shift. So, Semper Gumby, always flexible. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, they've got some busy stuff going on in the Capitol, but he might join us here later in the morning. Normally, we've got him scheduled for, you know, 6:40 every Wednesday morning, and that's good, but we're always ready to shift those times if needed based on legislative schedules and things like that. Same thing with our Thursday update. Every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got Senate President Matt Regeer, the Republican leader of the state Senate, that joins us, and then also Democrat House Minority Whip out of Missoula, Jonathan Carlin, joins us every Thursday. And that'll, you know, so far we've been able to do it at the exact same time every Thursday, but there's going to come a time, especially, you know, as we approach the transmittal deadline and things like that, where you know, they might have to join us earlier or later or whatever. So, and that's all right. Semper Gumby, always flexible. So we'll get the Speaker of the Montana House on at some point here later this morning. In the meantime, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Let's see, just got a random message on our Montana Talks app. Tom in Billings asked a question. What was your MOS in Afghanistan? Which, for those of you who don't know the military acronyms, which is funny. I'm assuming MOS means military occupation specialty, but like many of the terms in the military, we know what the acronym means. We just may not know what the actual letters actually stand for. I just know MOS. When they say what was your MOS, it basically means what was your job, what was your specialty. So when I was in Afghanistan, I was still technically an infantry officer, but I was filling one of the embedded training teams, or, you know, in Iraq they were called MIT teams. But I was on it. Yeah, I was an infantry officer assigned to an embedded training team. But then by the time we got over to Afghanistan, the whole mission shifted, and we ended up becoming a police mentor team instead. The embedded training teams were working with the Afghan Army, and then they were trying to take a renewed focus on the Afghan police. So they created the police mentor teams with the same concept. All right, we're getting some other messages on the Montana Talks app here as I finally get to my stack of stuff. I opened up the show this morning by talking about some of the cold weather temperatures that we're seeing across the state here. 33 below in Hardin, 27 below in Edgar there. If you're just leaving the Edgar bar, maybe you're on swamp detail today. 27 below. Ekalaka, 31 below. Miles City, 35 below zero. 38 below in Baker.
Let's see, 35 below northeast of Muscle Shell, Montana. Let's look at some of the other ones here. Looks like this is just kind of the, 43 below. It's saying east of Huntley, Montana. Let's see, when were these numbers from? Was it, this might have been yesterday's numbers. Let me see here. Yeah, that was yesterday. Okay, I apologize about that. All right, that was that. The National Weather Service office had shared the temperature numbers for yesterday. I was wondering because I was like, it was only 15 below this morning when I got in the pickup. But Bob in Columbus says it's 12 below zero in Columbus. What say you? What's going on in your neck of the woods? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. Here's a new one from Tammy in Kalispell. Tammy says it is downright balmy at 9 below zero this morning in Kalispell, and no wind. Yay, she says. Okay, air temperatures as of 6:15 this morning. This is not wind chills. Air temperatures, just straight up air temperatures. Let's see, looks like near Butte, you're looking at 24 below zero. Near Missoula, 23 below zero. Up there near Avon, in the mountains above Helena, 27 below zero, 26 below zero in Malta, and 32 below zero looks like there as you head towards in between Malta and Havre. So that's a look at some of the air temperatures. Let's see, Nancy in Roundup here on the phone lines. Nancy, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. I was listening to Mark Levin last night, and about the U.S. aid, and he calls it U.S. aid, and he emphasized the word aid. And it's just this disgusting fraud, and the fact out of our Social Security, Doge has discovered that between $50 and $100 billion every year is being stolen out of our Social Security fund, upwards of $100 billion out of our Medicare and our Medicaid. They're finding, of course, illegal aliens scrolled on the scrolls of Social Security. And, you know, I don't know how the Democrats are going to pull themselves out of this tar pit of fraud and deceit and corruption and wickedness. How are they going to do it? Are we actually maybe seeing the end of the demise of the Democrat Party? And I certainly do hope so. And I just want to remind everybody, they're accusing Elon Musk of being an unelected official. Well, how long has George Soros and the deep state been unelected officials interfering in our elections? How about these NGOs that have been stealing money out of the U.S. aid funds, too, to bring in illegal aliens, like Catholic churches and the Lutheran church, bringing illegal aliens by the millions into our country? So I'm telling you, Aaron, I am just nauseated every time I hear more and more reports of this, but I'm glad it's coming to the forefront. We need to know this, and Americans, at least Americans, are really starting to distrust their government more and more, and that's a really good thing. And have a safe and fun trip in Glendive. I'll be thinking about you and everybody else there.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. We got a great phone call from one of our friends in Glendive yesterday. That was a nice surprise. And so, yeah, it'll be a great trip. It's always fun getting out there and to the Glendive Agri Trade Expo, so we're looking forward to it. Number of great comments there from Nancy in Roundup. Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, and all the fraud, waste, and abuse that's being exposed by Elon Musk. You know, it's funny, John Stewart, who's very liberal, John Stewart, the host of The Daily Show, although he only hosts it on Mondays now. He's just doing Mondays. But it was kind of funny. Even Jon Stewart, he started to talk about some of the stuff that Donald Trump's doing. And he's like, well, you know, on this one, he's right. Yesterday, we were joking about plastic straws. We were joking about, dude, don't drink coffee out of a plastic straw. Okay, if it's an iced coffee, why would you put a straw in a hot cup of coffee? You certainly wouldn't want to use a paper straw.
Musk and his teenage deputy Big Balls are saving us $1 billion a day. And have uncovered what could be the biggest kickback scheme in American history. And the media wants his head on a platter. Or something else on a platter.
Democrats are in the minority, so you have only so much leverage.
Have you all essentially made it clear to Mike Johnson that until they allow you all to subpoena Big Balls and the normalized Indian hate guy, at least subpoena them or subpoena Elon Musk?
Democrats are judge shopping and getting liberal justices to rule against Trump for finding fraud.
Billions and billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse. And I think it's very important. And that's one of the reasons I got elected. I say we're going to do that. Nobody had any idea it was that bad, that sick, and that corrupt. And it seems hard to believe that judges want to try and stop us from looking for corruption, especially when we found hundreds of millions of dollars worth, much more than that, in just a short period of time. We want to weed out the corruption. And it seems hard to believe that a judge could say, we don't want you to do that. Well, so maybe we have to look at the judges, because that's a very serious, I think it's a very serious violation.
Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Barack Obama. Democrats used to be about modernizing government and fighting corruption. So did the media.
If I give you $1 billion and you can't tell me what happened to it, that to me is wasteful. That means you are not responsible. But if you can't tell me where it went, then what am I supposed to think? And when there has been reporting, I mean, this is not, like, I'm not saying this is on you and that you caused this, but I think it's a tough argument to make
sure
that an $850 billion budget to an organization that can't pass an audit and tell you where that money went, like, I think most people would consider that somewhere in the realm of waste, fraud, or abuse, because they would wonder why that money isn't well accounted for.
That was actually the wrong clip. I actually intended to play the one. There was another clip where Jon Stewart, because that soundbite was from back in 2023 when Jon Stewart threw that commentary out there. But this was, I think, Monday night. Jon Stewart was saying, yeah, when it comes to these stupid paper straws, Donald Trump is right on this one. And he does not like to agree with Donald Trump. So I'll play that quick soundbite maybe next, Alice.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If Democrats, if this is their strategy, they want to double down on fighting against deporting known terrorists, murderers, known murderers, rapists, known cartel members, gang members, those that didn't respect our laws, borders, and sovereignty, and they want to make the case that they should stay, let them do it. If now that they've been exposed for hundreds of billions in reckless, woke, Green New Deal, trans-supporting, DEI-supporting, abortion-supporting, taxpayer dollars going to every country but our country, let them fight on that hill, because they have doubled down on dumb, stupid, and an absolute tragedy.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
The election is officially over, but is your money still at risk? We still have a staggering $35 trillion in debt. Interest on this debt now costs more than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. On top of that, we're still feeling the consequences of the brutal inflation we saw under Biden and the global chaos ripping across the globe. That's why thousands of concerned Americans are turning to precious metals to help hedge against these threats. And they're reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make it happen. Goldco has over 6,000 five-star reviews and has helped people just like you purchase over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Right now, they're offering a free gold and silver kit to help you diversify your savings. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the region for today, we'll see high temperatures of around 10 degrees. Then looking at clear conditions into tonight, low temperatures back in the single digits below zero. And the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine as high temperatures rebound to the mid-20s. We'll see increasing clouds Thursday night with a low near 10. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. What?
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
In 2009, in a hearing before the House Education Committee, a lobbyist for the teachers union made the mistake of referring to students as quote-unquote our children, at which point a lobbyist for the Montana Catholic Conference rose and in no uncertain terms reminded the union lobbyist and the members of the committee that children belong not to the school system or to the state of Montana, but to their parents. Thus began a policy debate that continues to this day. Every legislative session since then has seen the introduction of bills that in one form or another either assert parental rights or attempt to claw back the rights of parents that have been usurped by overzealous bureaucrats or private entities. One of the most bitterly contested was the 2013 bill requiring parental consent before a minor could get an abortion. After a 10-year legal battle, the Montana Supreme Court ruled against 73% of Montana's parents, saying that children of any age have complete procreative autonomy. Tell that to the parents. I have a feeling that ruling will become the centerpiece of the next election cycle when the current Supreme Court justices seek re-election. The next skirmish took place in 2010 when a whistleblower alerted our office that some public schools in Montana were preparing to teach sex education beginning in kindergarten. That resulted in 700 people showing up at a Helena school board hearing to voice their outrage. Sadly, the school board ruled against the parents. That resulted in House Bill 456 in the 2011 session. The bill allowed for parental control over what kids were taught regarding human reproduction in the public schools. The bill passed both houses, but was ultimately vetoed by Governor Schweitzer. The same bill resurfaced again in 2013, and this time was vetoed by Governor Bullock. Parents couldn't catch a break. Thankfully, the same bill was passed again in 2021 and was ultimately signed into law by Governor Gianforte. That same session, Senator Teresa Manzella introduced Senate Bill 400, a bill restricting governmental entities from interfering with parental rights. The bill passed both houses and was signed into law by Governor Gianforte on May 12th of that year. Finally, we had majorities in both houses and a governor who valued the rights of parents over the agendas of unelected state bureaucrats. At this point, we were making headway, but the job wasn't over. 2023 was the big push. Representative Seekins Crow introduced House Bill 676, which specified that fundamental parental rights are exclusively reserved to the parents of a child without obstruction or interference from government entities. At the same time, Senator Manzella introduced Senate Bill 518, revising parental rights to increase parental involvement in education. Both bills were signed into law by Governor Gianforte, which brings us to 2025 and the latest push. It's come to the attention of legislators that hospitals and clinics across the state are now requiring parents to get the permission of any child over 12 years of age to see that child's medical records. Children are being allowed to schedule medical appointments and withhold access to their records from their parents if they so desire, to which one mama bear recently told a doctor, quote, "My child doesn't have a job. If you treat her behind my back, good luck getting paid," end quote. As a result, Representative Nellie Nickel introduced House Bill 377, a bill forcing health care providers to make a child's records available to their parents within 3 days of a request. The bill is scheduled to be heard tomorrow at 3 p.m. in House Human Services. We'll be there in support because parents' involvement is critical to the health and well-being of their children. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
That's right. Your input does make a difference, not only in the legislature, but right here with Montana Talks. That's where we love getting your messages on the Montana Talks app. I got one from Jay in Billings that I'll try to share here coming up in the next hour of the show. Let's see. I think we've got, well, a guest or two, but I know later in the morning for sure we're going to have plenty of open phones time as well for you to jump in and weigh in.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Excess federal government spending more than tax collections, is a bipartisan activity. With the exception of a couple years after the Berlin Wall fell, when falling defense spending allowed Bill Clinton to run a brief surplus, we've had deficits every year since JFK was in the White House. And as most of us know, the red ink has gotten especially scary, both in dollar terms and as a percentage of the economy. This was a prediction of some who debated the structure of the then-new national government at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. They feared that leaders who needed popular support to remain in office would make irresponsible decisions on spending. After 200 years, it's come true. It's hard to know everyone's motivation for voting for deficits and re-electing those who support them. But the notion that cutting taxes is a way of slowing down spending has been thoroughly disproven. The so-called starve-the-beast strategy that envisioned forcing spending levels downward has not been up to the challenge. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.